We thank God once again that He saw fit in His mercy and grace to allow us to witness this day, a day that wasn't promised to us, but is a gift from Him. And the Bible encourages us to rejoice and be glad in this day. It's good to see each and every one here. The members, those that are visiting, it's always good to have you with us. And anytime the Word of God is preached, we hope and pray that something will be said from the Scriptures that will be helpful and instrumental in the stirring up of our pure minds. It will just cause us just to think as we journey through this life. Realizing, brothers and sisters and friends and visitors, that this life is not long. I believe that was James says in James chapter 4 and verse 14. He says, "For what is your life? But as a vapor." And I'm quite sure that we all have seen vapor. If you haven't, just one cool morning as you start your car, notice the vapor that comes from the tailpipes. And once the engine is hot, the vapor disappears. And the Bible says this is how short this life is. So whatever it is that we need to get corrected with God, just realize that we don't have a long time. We have to make sure that what we are doing right now, as we sang the song this morning, if Christ should sound the trumpet, that it will be well with our soul today. No one in this building this morning knows about tomorrow. No one, what tomorrow will bring. In the book of Psalms chapter, 66 and verse 16, David encourages the people of God to come out and hear God's word. David says, "Come all ye that fear the Lord and hear." And he said, "I will declare unto you what the Lord has done for my soul." So you see this morning that we all have a testimony of the good things that God has done for our soul. Every last one of us. As we look at this lesson this morning, the perfect man, hopefully through the study of these scriptures, that each and every one of us, when we leave here, we will have a better understanding of the scriptures on what perfection means to God. Not to mankind, but unto God. And I just want to use these passages of scripture here in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, starting at verse 7, and we'll read down through verse 16. Notice what the Apostle Paul teach. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 7 through 16. He said, "But unto every one of us is given grace, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." He says, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying itself in love. Brothers and sisters, this morning, as I read those scriptures, and as we studied these scriptures this morning, I'd just like for us to see the movement in those scriptures, see the growth and the development as the Apostle Paul teaches us to all grow into that perfect man. And we'll find in studying these scriptures that people are a lot like churches. But before that we go any further into this lesson, we count this as a blessing as well as a privilege to go to our Heavenly Father in spirit and in truth. So the one that has been selected to lead us in prayer, let us humble ourselves. In this lesson, the perfect man, I'd just like for us to go back once again and look at these passages of scriptures where the Apostle Paul encourages us to continue to grow. He says that we need to grow up in Christ to become this perfect man and woman. Notice what he says in verse 16 again. He says that for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted that which every joint supplied according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. Just through the observation and studying the scriptures, when it comes to the church and the church development and its growth, when God gives an analogy, it's always perfect. And he gives the analogy of the church. He says it's just like the human body. When we look at the church, although it has many members, all working, performing different tasks, that there's no schism in the body. You see, the nose doesn't look down on the feet. The feet doesn't argue and fuss with the hands. They all work in harmony together. That's what a healthy body does. And he says that the church is like that in growth also. As we look at these passages of scriptures, we'll find that the church and people are a lot alike. And you may say this morning, well, Brother James, you missed that. People are the church. I know that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that when it comes to growth and development, that people are a lot like the church. And as these passages teaches us here, the Apostle Paul said that we should grow. He says that we, notice what he says that in verse 12, he said, verse 10, he said, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. He said, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. In verse 12, it said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And when we look at those passages of scriptures, let us break those scriptures down. When Christ ascended back into heaven, the Bible says that he left leaders in the church to equip the saints for the ministry, so they are not tossed to and fro like children by every whim and sleight of men doctrines. That's why the leaders were left in the church. Another translation gives it like this. One translation says that when we find this, Paul encouraged us to grow into perfection, into mature Christians. He says, until a full-grown man or woman. So we are not like children tossed everywhere by every slick-talking person that comes along. When Christ ascended up into heaven, he left the leadership in place. And the Apostle Paul encourages us to grow. And as we understand these passages of scriptures that we just read, development and growth comes from God. And there are a lot of other scriptures concerning the perfect man. And I'll just give you a couple of here. One is in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, and verse 8 and 9. We'll find in those passages of scriptures that the Bible teaches us that Noah was a perfect man. And those passages of scriptures. And not only was he a perfect man, the Bible says that he was a preacher of righteousness. In 2 Peter chapter 2, 5 through 10. We find also in the book of Job, Job chapter 1 and verse 1, it teaches us that Job was a perfect man. And the foundation for Job's perfection was this: fearing God, turning away from evil, and also his words, his thoughts, and his deeds. In the eyes of God, God said that he was perfect. There's another passage of scriptures in the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. The Bible says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is also perfect. Now this is the aim for all of us as Christians, is to grow into this perfection. This is our aim that we should shoot for. Not in the way we look, but the Bible teaches us that in our thoughts and our deeds and our action, we should be like Christ. And brothers and sisters, we have before us the pattern. We have the perfect God. He's perfect. And also, we have the divine perfection embodied in Christ to help us to get there, to this perfect man and perfect woman. And there's a lot of other scripture on being perfect. James chapter 1 and verse 4, I'll just read these for those that are taking notes. James chapter 3 and verse 2, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17, it talks about the perfect man. The question this morning is, what is involved in the human development and growth. People are a lot like churches. That the building this morning is not the church, but the people. And when we look at these passages of scriptures, it's hard to explain this life. What is it about this life when we look at it? Arguing today, people are arguing right now, when did this life start? Some say it starts at birth, and some say it starts at conception. But this life is very hard to explain, this life of growth and development. And bear in mind that growth and development comes from God. One of the things that I just want to share with us this morning concerning this life, I want just to look at this dot. I'm sure we all can see this dot. This life teaches us that life in the human being starts by the size of a pinhead on a pin. You think about this. This is when life starts, this human life, by the size of a dot or the size of a pinhead. And locked into that dot is 6 feet of DNA. Now you just lost me right there. For me to try to figure out how can you get 6 feet of DNA from that dot. Brothers, sisters, and friends, God fixed it like that. Only God can do that. 6 feet of DNA. And the Bible tells us that the only time that this dot can be activated in a woman is only one time a month. And one time only. And if it's not activated, it will die. So that tells me that this dot is alive if it dies. And so we have this thought this morning of a man and a woman, and the Bible teaches us that only a man can activate that dot, this sperm that I'm speaking of. And you can argue buttermilk, water, gasoline, or anything that you want to argue, but the only thing that can activate that dot is a man, because God fixed it like that. And so as we look at this life, we see that it's nothing that God cannot do. Nothing is too hard for him. And in this dot that we have here, when it is activated, comes forth a baby. And this baby is born into a family, a mother and a father. Some children are born into good families, and some are born into dysfunctional families. And sometimes this dysfunction goes on from generation to generations, 3 and 4 generations. But we need to understand something this morning. The Bible teaches us that this dot that comes from life, and we can trace life all the way back to God. When it becomes a baby, it comes into this world with an inside and an outside. And our goal as parents is to get this baby from a baby to a full-grown, sound mind, functioning, productive human being. That's the goal of a parent. is to take what God started from this dot and help it to grow to a full-grown human being. And there's a passage of scriptures that we find in the Bible. It's in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, a lot of times when we as parents, we teach our children and we train them in a way to go. And sometimes they don't go the way that we teach them. And when that happens, we'll try to change the scriptures. Say, well, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will come back. The Bible doesn't teach that. He says, when he's old, he will not depart. And this word train, in the Hebrew language, is to dedicate. So we as parents, we need to dedicate our time and our life and our children unto God, help and teach our kids to know God. So when that person goes out into the world, they will not forget the things they have been taught. You know, just like that prodigal son that left his family and realized that he was in a hog pen. And he came to his senses, the Bible says. And he says, I'm going back home to my father. Sometimes that's had to happen to our children. And we teach them. And a lot of times we say, well, I'm going to teach all my kids alike. Brothers and sisters and friends, all kids are not alike. They're not all alike. Because from this dot that we see, God has given a different personality in that dot, different way of thinking when the baby comes into this world. And you have people all over this world that with different personalities, different way of thinking, because God fixed it like that. Only thing we can do is teach our children in the way that it should go. And when they are old, they won't forget what we taught them. I never forget a brother that baptized me, sound preacher, strong wife in Christ, but they had wayward children. And I asked him one day, I said, what happened to your children? And he said, Brother James, he said, let me tell you something. He said, wherever those kids are, they are there without an excuse because they have been taught. And that's all we can do as parents, is teach our children to know God. And when they're old, they will not depart. But you'll find that people are a lot like the church. Because, you know, kids, the only thing they want to do is eat cake and ice cream and candy. That's all the thing children want to do. But we as parents, we have to tell them, no. You have to eat solid food and nutritious food, so you can grow to be big and strong. That's what we teach our children. It's the same as the church. We can't eat cake and ice cream and candy all the time. Sometimes we have to turn to that solid food and eat that solid food all of our life if we want to grow into perfection according to these passages of scriptures. And we'll find that people are a lot like the church. Brothers and sisters, when God cleaned up the world during the flood, 10 generations passed, and God's people had gone back into idolatry and heathenism. 10 generations from that, they were doing anything they wanted to do. And God called Abraham. Remember the story of Abraham? God called him. We'll take a look at this in the book of Genesis, I believe, chapter 12. And see what God said to Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, 1 and 3. Notice what God said to Abraham. He said, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, he said, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thee thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curses thee. And in these shall all the families of the earth be blessed." You see, we talk about this family that we are born into. And a lot of time, in order for people to get better, they have to leave the context of that family. God called Abraham out from his family, from his kindred, into a different land, to change what was going on at that time. Now, I want us to notice something here in the book of Genesis while we're there. In Genesis chapter 15, I want us to notice this. Genesis chapter 15. And verse 13. The Bible says that, "And he said unto Abram, he said, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. See, Abraham was concerned about having a son. And God told him, said, be of a surety that this land where you're going will not be your land. He said, notice this. He says that in your heir, he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that the seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them for 400 years. I want to just to really underline that verse there in verse 13. For 400 years. Now, the Bible says in 4 generations, God's people will come back to them. What happened is this. Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. One of those boys, Joseph, is who got us into Egypt. Joseph had a brother named Levi. Levi had a son named Gershon and Kohath and Merirah. Merirah had Aram. And Aram had Moses. In that 4th generation, Moses was the one that brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. And this is what I want to suggest to really just think about for a moment. God was talking to Abraham about Moses 7 generations before Moses had come into this world. He was talking to Abraham about Moses. God knew Moses before he came into this world. Before that, he was in his mother's womb. God knew him. Isn't that what Jeremiah says? He said, God told him, say, I knew thee while thou was in thy mother's womb. Before you came into this world, I had something planned for you. God knew him, just like he knows us. This church that we are a member of, the Church of Christ, was in the mind of God even before this world began. And this building that we are worshiping this morning, God knew this building would be here even before it was built. There's a purpose for this church here in Longwood. It's not just sitting on this corner just to be sitting here. There's a purpose. And just like there's a purpose for us. You might say, well, what is my purpose? What is my purpose? I don't know. Just keep going to God. And you'll find out wherever you are right now, you are there for a reason. Whether it be in your profession, whether it be in your neighborhood or at school, you are there for a reason. You know what the Bible says? In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul says that we are living epistles known and read of all men. People that don't read their Bibles will read you. People see you when you get up and you prepare yourself to come worship the Lord. They see you. And when we're mingling with people, they're reading us. The Bible says we're known and read of all men. And just like God was talking to Abraham about Moses before that he came into this world, God knew him just like he knows us. And we're just passing through. But while we're passing through, let us remember this. We need to keep growing into perfection. Keep feeding on the Word of God, those things that will help grow us into perfection, because the Bible tells us that it's possible that we can be that perfect man in the eyes of God. So don't let anybody tell you that you can't be perfect. You can be perfect in Christ. That's where we can be, not on the outside of Christ, but on the inside, we all can grow. And what I mean by perfect, I mean by mature Christians, where we're not tossed around to and fro by every whim of doctrine. That we know what's the truth. We know what's wrong because we look at God's Word. And that's the lesson this morning in perfection. Just to help us to realize this morning, as we journey through this life, that our aim this morning should be to move toward that perfection. As we realize through the scripture this morning that during the Corinthian days, there were some Christians that Paul couldn't talk to about spiritual things. He said they were still carnally minded. But they were still arguing on, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas. And Paul said while they were in that state, he couldn't talk to them. They had to grow, just like we have to continue to grow until we die. We come to Christ this morning by first the hearing of his word. We have to hear. After hearing, we must believe it. After believing it, we must repent. After repenting, we must make the good confession. And after the good confession, we must be buried in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of our sin. This is God's plan of salvation for all mankind. Just to hear his word, believe it, repent, confess, and be baptized. And then when we stumble and fall and make mistakes, we are to repent, confess, especially as we have sinned a sin that have shamed the body of Christ, that we might be reinstated back into the fellowship of our sisters and brothers. So while we stand this morning and sing the chosen selection, anyone want to make the good confession, by all means do.